Everybody, who dat? Malloy here on the Mike Malloy Show. That who dat is. Oh my goodness, what a game, huh? Me, the guy that says, I hate professional sports, but I certainly do like the Super Bowl, especially the one last night. Astonishing. It turned out exactly what it was supposed to. As a matter of fact, we've asked a friend of ours, Jason, who used to be our producer when we were Air America. Jason used to live in New York City, now lives in New Orleans, or is in New Orleans. He doesn't live there.
Actually, let me correct you. I live in New York still, but
all right.
I came down specifically for the Super Bowl.
And for those of you who have razor-sharp memories, you remember one night we played Jason's CD, Afro Skull, which is a jazz funk of the highest order. And so we asked Jason to give us a holler from New Orleans. And what happened at the end of the Saints game last night?
My God, Mike, it was insanity here in the heart of the Who Dat Nation. I took a drive around about a half hour before the game, and the streets were deserted.
Mm-hmm.
That all changed with within about 5 seconds at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it went from deserted to completely jam-packed in the quarter and all over the city, every neighborhood, people out of their houses, came out of the bars, fireworks being set off, screaming and hollering, people honking their horns, traffic backed up everywhere. It was quite a sight to see.
It must have been Laissez-les bon temps rouler. I almost had it right.
Yeah.
I wonder where everybody was a couple, 3 minutes before they all came pouring out in the street. Where? In front of their television sets, right?
Yeah, wherever there is a television. Bars, of course, were a popular spot for a lot of people. A lot of folks just had house parties and that kind of thing.
A lot of commentators today, both sports commentators and news commentators, mentioned the fact that this is this to people in New Orleans was more than just a Super Bowl win, as impressive as that is, but it meant something else. Do you get that sense, too?
Oh, without a doubt. When you put this in the greater context, we have, of course, the continuing after effects of Hurricane Katrina, which some down here have taken to calling the federal flood, as I'm sure you can understand why. That is, of course, an ongoing process. And then there's the greater context of many, many years of the state of Louisiana or the city of New Orleans being last or next to last in national rankings of, things that we use to measure quality of life,
sure,
the economy, the education system, the healthcare system, all of them in dire straits to an extent even before the storm, and then afterwards completely devastated.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 4 years of hard work for a lot of people to get back to the city, to rebuild their lives here, and for many people last night felt like the culmination of all of that. It was our statement to the world that New Orleans is back, and kind of a great, we also had a mayoral election yesterday. I'm sure you heard about that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mitch Landrieu, I think, got 60% of the vote and a new city council. So there's a lot of hope in New Orleans right now. It's a great time to be here.
Now, I'm trying to remember, in all the conversations we had back in the Air America days, you were a disc jockey there at one point
in New Orleans.
Yeah,
Yes. Well, I was a DJ at WWOZ, which is the world-famous jazz music station here.
Right.
And I also worked professionally at WWL, which was the flagship station of
right.
the New Orleans Saints broadcast.
And as a disc jockey, there's an old term for you, and as a musician whose work is available to anyone who wants to hear it. If you have not heard Afro Skull, you need to hear it. But putting those two together, do you think that gives you a sense more than the average person would get about New Orleans making a comeback?
Well, I definitely feel that I have as much of a connection to this city as possible to have for someone who is not living here and is not born here.
Right.
I keep in touch with a lot of folks. You know, I follow everybody on Facebook and Twitter and so forth. Check the Times Picayune site just about every day, and you know, the local media. And I do feel that perhaps more than just Joe Schmo out in Ames, Iowa, with no offense to Ames, Iowa.
Right.
More than, you know, your average person out there, that I am kind of connected here. And the consensus among everyone that I keep in touch with is that this has been a great thing for the city. It's gotten us out front nationally in terms of, you know, all the Super Bowl coverage and mm-hmm. everything that goes along with that. And New Orleans really put its best foot forward. Showed all the things that are great about this city is what people have been talking about for the last 2 weeks, instead of the things that they have been talking about for the prior 4 years, which is flooding,
the devastation,
politicians,
yeah.
and mm-hmm. crime, and so on. All of that is, none of those problems are going to be solved overnight, of course, but people are feeling pretty good about the future in New Orleans right now.
How about folks in the still, it's my understanding, still decimated lower ninth?
Yeah, I actually haven't made it out there yet on this trip. I was there about a year ago, and it did look like it still has a very, very long way to go mm-hmm. before it's going to be a thriving neighborhood again. But if you're asking in terms of what last night meant to that neighborhood, I feel pretty confident in saying that people in the Ninth Ward are happier maybe than they've ever been, or at least have been for the last 4.5 years,
mm-hmm.
because that's the way it is everywhere in New Orleans and South Louisiana today.
Isn't it an interesting commentary, Jason, and one that I think certainly is valid? One can make sarcastic comments about a football game inspiring people. On the other hand, isn't it interesting that something like the Super Bowl and the win by the Saints has such a profound effect on people?
Well, it is interesting. It's not entirely surprising to me, though, from my time here and working at WWL and hearing the callers every night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that time, the Saints were really bad in the late 90s is the time that I'm referencing here, the Ditka years for all the Saints fans out there. And you can hear the desperation in their voices. They just wanted a win so badly so that New Orleans could be on top like it used to be in the old days,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we could show the world what we're made of. And it just seemed like next year never, ever came.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans, despite all the seasons of 3-13, 6-10, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
they stuck by this team, and the team rewarded them. After the storm, of course, you know, they spent the season in San Antonio, and there was, even going back to when I lived here before the storm, there was always talk about Mr. Benson wants a new stadium.
Right, right.
Might move the team to Mississippi or to Texas or something. But the team, after the storm, buckled down and bonded with the community, and the community showed their appreciation and love for that. And that's the way it is in New Orleans. You know, if you're here with to help out the city will just absolutely embrace you.
Well, Jason, it's good to talk to you again, and I have to say, maybe it's from being there for a few days, or maybe it's just embedded, but you still have that New Orleans lilt to your voice.
Yeah, it tends to come back when I get back to town. When I'm in New York, I sound like, you know, Queens born and bred.
Right, Jason.
Something about New Orleans just mellows me out, man. What can I say?
I hear you. Jason, thanks so much. Thanks for checking in, and we'll talk again.
You got it, Mike. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Take care.
Man, I've been a Saints fan. The mama, you a Saints fan?
You know I'm a Saints fan.
The daddy, you a Saints fan?
You know I'm a Saints fan.
Oh, man, you a Saints fan?
Well, I've been a Saints fan.
The hour, boy, wasn't that a teabag convocation, a cluster freak? we've got, if you're listening online, you can still hear Kathy editing some of the Palin comments over the weekend. It has become comedic. The whole thing is funny. None of this should be taken seriously. I know all the warnings, like, well, they laughed at Ronald Reagan. No, this is entirely different. Even the Republican, the old men in the Republican Party are starting to realize how sick this teabag movement is. Tom Tancredo's statements at the opening of the event that garnered applause. Tancredo said the cult of multiculturalism resulted in Obama being elected because we do not have a civics literacy test before people can vote in this country. I mean, how stupid do you have to be? And then, of course, the white people in the audience applauded this as if they understood. And maybe they do. They probably do. Literacy tests were what was used, what were used, obviously, to deny black folk the right to vote. As recently as in the late 60s here in the South, it was just common knowledge. If you wanted to register to vote in some of these degenerate precincts in the states of the old Confederacy, and you were black, good luck. Good luck. Literacy in those tests meant to have the knowledge of, you know, an adjunct professor of American history and government at Cornell in order to pass some of the tests that were put in front of black folk that might have had a high school education. The white people administering the tests couldn't even spell their own damn names. But for Tancredo, I mean, I don't get these people. They are so out of step. This is such a 1950s movement, this Tea Party thing. And then when the crazy woman from Wasilla gave her $100,000 speech, and she made that comment about, you know, for those of you who voted for Obama, how's that Hopi changey thing working out for you? probably as well as abstinence works out for your family, right, sweetie? I mean, what a thing to say. But, you know, she certainly impressed the 600 people that were there. Yeah, man. George in Oregon writes, did you notice, I'm sure you did, that all of the Sorry Network alleged news services broadcast Palin's speech that she gave to all of about 600 teabaggers? There she was, in all of her ignorant, disorganized glory, and all the alleged news people there covering her like they would some drug-addicted, drug-addled rock star. You notice, I'm sure you did, that it was still nothing on the networks about the CIA overruling the State Department, about pulling the visa of the religious nutcase that tried to destroy the airline in Detroit. Tells you something, doesn't it? Over the weekend, George writes, I went looking for the real broadcast news media. I looked in the toilet. I looked in the cat box. No luck. I should have looked in the garbage can in the backyard. It smells like there might be something dead back there. Maybe that's where it is. Somewhere Hitler and Mussolini are laughing themselves silly. George in Oregon. Yeah, it was pretty pathetic. I mean, when you have a right-wing nutball like Joe Scarborough on Morning Joe, and a serial adulterer and hypocrite like Newt Gingrich declaring the Tea Party, Teabagger Party movement is dead, and it's just animated because so many of these old men have actual literal Viagra moments every time Sarah Palin walks out on the stage. You know, it's like, oh man, there it goes. It is really sick, and it's really disgusting. But sick and disgusting is what we thrive on this program. So when we come back from this break, we will we have some of the Palin stuff ready? That's right. No, take your time. So if you're listening online, you can hear the actual editing process going on here, which is another reason to subscribe to the podcast. Oh, God. I always work that in, don't I? We'll see you right after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Hey, Sarah Palin, just because you're good at shooting doesn't mean you have the ammo to negotiate with Putin. Are you on coke? This country's up in smoke. Oh, what a joke. Oh, if you become VP, oh, what will it mean for me? Oh, if you become VP, oh, what will it mean for me?
Take it to the bridge.
Just because I can see the moon doesn't make me an astronaut. You and your foreign policy expertise is poo. Do you really think
open a door?
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. It's interesting. Again, if you're listening on the World Wide Web, you hear Kathy attempting to edit some of this stuff down for space of this crazy broad on television. In watching some of the video, I thought Chris Wallace was just going to have one of those Viagra moments. It's just incredible watching him with Miss Lieutenant Governor. And it's kind of interesting in the background there. If you're listening, you hear Mstislav Rostropovich doing some Bach cello concertos. So the combination of the two has got to be interesting. Obama was elected because, quote, we do not have a civics literacy test before people can vote in this country. Tom Tancredo suggesting that perhaps it should be reinstated, the literacy test used by the states. It gained infamy as a means for denying suffrage to African Americans. A number of southern states had it. The so-called literacy test, which it was not, combined with other requirements, effectively stopped African Americans from voting in the South from the 1890s to the 1960s. And the southern states, down here where I live, only abandoned that test when forced by the federal legislation in the 60s. Incredible. It was supremely ironic that immediately after a speech in which the hoe from Wasilla took a shot at President Obama for using a teleprompter to read prepared speeches, that she was caught having written answers to just a basic questions on her hand. On her hand, it said energy, budget cut, tax, lift America's spirit. Like, when someone says to someone who is aspiring, really aspiring to be president, they have to look at the palm of their hand. They have to look at their crib notes. Well, what do you see as the most important energy, or the most important issues? Hold on just a minute. The light's bad here. Energy. Yeah. Let's see. Budget. Damn it. I closed my hand. What is it? A B or a P? What's a budget? A budget? No. Oh, budget. A budget cut. And sex. Sex? Wait a minute again. Oh, tax! Tax! And to lift America's spirit. I mean, this is, look, to all you teabaggers who tune into this program because, you know, your life is pointless and has no meaning, and you tune in to have your own personal Viagra moment, let me tell you something, Booby. This woman is running a scam, all right? Just keep contributing. Keep sending her money. She's making millions. That's why she resigned, you know, from this jerky ass lieutenant governor's job in Alaska. Oh, well, you know, me and the first dude, we're going to go make some money. Oh, my God. This woman is getting paid. She is really getting paid. And I watched the interviews over the weekend. Some of the people who were asked by this massive amount of press that was there, nobody covering the fact that the at the House Committee on Intelligence was that what it was last week? We talked about it. How the intelligence community, certain aspects of the intelligence community, called the State Department. No, let the bomber on the plane. We're working on investigation. It's cool. You know, don't worry about it. Yeah, nothing. Nothing about that. But there they are, covering the hoe from Wasilla. Now, before you write in and say, all right, you sexist pig, what do you mean hoe? John McCain picked her to be his hoe. He was the pimp. And that was in anticipation of Hillary Clinton either getting the nomination or being picked by Barack Obama. She was chosen, what, you're going to tell me she was chosen for her stellar brilliance? She was chosen for her knowledge of the Constitution, for her understanding of the workings of government, her ability to handle an executive position? No. John McCain decided to pimp her to the American public. Now, he's the one who turned her into a hoe, not me. But the name kind of fits now, because what she's doing for money. No offense to sex workers. Real sex workers are not hoes. They're sex workers, all right? But the hoe from Wasilla was selected to be a hoe while John McCain was her pimp. That's just the reality. Sorry, if you don't like it, you see that knob by your radio, turn it. That's the truth. Energy, budget cut. Tax, lift America's spirit. So she's running a scam, and, you know, if she's got to ride on her extremities in order to answer simple questions, that is, I mean, it's funny. I can't wait. The comedians start with the, well, Sarah Palin made an offhand comment today. I mean, come on. She has to have a cheat sheet just to get through one of these I don't know, language is failing me. See, I decided not to cuss and use bad words anymore, and I'm lost. I'm just not literate enough. Damn. I wish I was Tom Hartman. I wish I could talk like he talks. He's promised to give me lessons, by the way. But the Tea Party movement, the Tea Bag movement, oh my God. Oh, by the way, we're going to, since we were not here Friday night, we're going to do podcast trivia at the bottom of the next hour. Democratic Underground has the beginning of a pretty good thread at their site. It starts out like this. We had 8 years of Bush and Cheney, and now you get mad? It was addressed to these teabag freak circle jerkers. Now you get mad? You didn't get mad when the Supreme Court stopped a legal recount and appointed a president? You didn't get mad when Cheney allowed Enron to dictate energy policy? You didn't get mad when a covert CIA operative got outed for disagreeing with Bush? You didn't get mad when the Patriot Act got passed, which destroyed the Constitution, you jerks? You didn't get mad when we illegally invaded a country that posed no threat to us? You didn't get mad when it came out that the reasons we went to war were all lies? You didn't get mad when we spent $3 trillion and counting on that illegal war. You didn't get mad when over $10 billion just disappeared in Iraq, you phony jerks. You didn't get mad when you found out we were torturing people, when we executed Japanese soldiers for doing the same thing 70 years, 60 years ago. Huh? You didn't get mad when the government was illegally wiretapping all of us. You phony scum suckers. You didn't get mad when Bush didn't catch bin Laden. You didn't get mad when you saw the horrible conditions at Walter Reed Army Hospital. You didn't get mad when we let a major United States city drown. You didn't get mad when we gave a $2 trillion tax break to the rich. You didn't get mad when the deficit hit the $1 trillion mark, and you didn't get mad when we bailed out Wall Street. You finally got mad, you jerks, when the government decided that people in America deserve the right to see a doctor if they're sick. You punks. Yeah, illegal wars, lies, corruption, torture, stealing your tax dollars to make the rich richer. That's all okay with you teabag freaks, but helping other Americans? Oh, hell no. You Beck-saturated goofs. God. What a bunch of trolls, of just little wind-up trolls, these people. And did you see some of that video? Excuse me, ma'am, could you tell me why you're here to see Sarah Palin?
Oh, yes. She's very real. She tells the truth. I just love Sarah.
And why are you here to see her, sir?
Well, I'm here because, I'm here. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Don't put the camera down there. I'm here to, well, I kind of, you know, I don't know. I used the last of the money I was going to spend on Lotto to come over here. You know what these damn tickets cost for? Cost us? Phew. Was it $549 and we got a free book, too? You idiots.
But have at it. I mean, I love to watch it. I love to see a cluster fork like this where y'all get together, right? Just like I said not too long ago about everybody congregating at Fox. Become a new Fox News commentator. Make it much easier to fumigate the entire mess. But to watch these people come together for these cluster forks, and she's got appointments, she's got scheduled events all over the country. It just looked like old bunny hopping, just hopping over here, bitty, 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 hopping over there, bitty, 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 hopping over here, writing those that stuff on her hand and just talking to the faithful. Why do you like Sarah? Well, she's real. You know, she's just real, and she's honest. And I think we just need that now. We've been lied to. Oh, by the way, do you know we have a Negro in the White House?
Here we go now, keep it lowbrow, get stupid. Why? Cause I know how, check my brain in, be an idiot, act lame in, stay ignorant, be remedial, wear the dust cap, slouch over and drool like a hunchback. Don't discuss this, shout the last word, put your good sense out the pasture, drop your IQ, that's what I do, my advice.
the Flying Monkey Right. It's Mike Malloy.
You're the only one who can turn me back on.
10 before the hour. Don't forget, at the bottom of the hour coming, we'll do podcast trivia. I'm just trying to let this this business about Sarah Palin writing on her hand. I mean, how third grade is that? She's just weird, and that's I think that's why we're paying attention to it tonight. Is I know she's about as relevant to the American political system as a fart with a lump in it. But the other thing, why didn't the teabaggers get mad when Dick Cheney said deficits don't matter? So, you know, all this, all of a sudden, this populist rage, that's hog snot. It's manufactured nonsense. It has its basis in deep, permanent racism. That's what nourishes this entire movement. The tax business, oh, stop it. You know, the healthcare business, oh, get off my front porch. You know, what it has to do with is the fact that there is a Negro in the White House. And these old white bastards just can't stand it. They just can't stand it. Well, Maude, I never thought I'd live to see the day. Well, me either, Frank. God damn. That's what this is about. Sarah Palin. Fresh from her teabagger party in Tennessee, chats with Chris Wallace. Oh, isn't he a piece of work? Hey, Chris, yo, you're never going to be your dad. Never, okay? Do you know how hard it must be to be Chris Wallace? You talk about a guy, I'll bet he spends a fortune on therapy. Huh? Can you imagine? Mike Wallace with all his investigative work, and then you have this little snot Chris Wallace working for Fox with that mouth-breathing thing that just drives me insane. But I digress. Wallace begins by asking the hoe from Wasilla about the difference between the GOP and the teabaggers. And she answered without, you know, obviously checking her hands or arms or kneecaps or ankles. Wallace asked this, how do you see yourself as a member of the Tea Party movement? Or a member of the Republican Party?
I think the two are and should be even more so merging, because the Tea Party movement is quite reflective of what the GOP, the planks in the platform, are supposed to be about. Limited government and more freedom,
more freedom.
Respect for equality.
That's
what the Tea Party movement is about. So I think that the two are much entwined, and
much
I'm happy
bread.
About that. The GOP has some very strong planks in the platform that build a platform that I believe is best to build a strong, safe, prosperous nation. When the GOP strays from the planks in the platform, a people's movement like the Tea Party movement is invited in to kind of hold these politicians accountable again and remind them of their constitutional limits there on the federal level. And it's a beautiful movement. I'm proud to get to be a part of it in terms of at least hearing from those in the Tea Party movement and sharing with them what I believe are some common sense solutions to the challenges facing us.
It's all gobbledygook. She spoke for 55 seconds and didn't say a word. It's a beautiful movement. We have a new puppy in the house.
Stop her.
Thank you. The puppy has beautiful movements. When he doesn't go on the carpet, it's a beautiful movement. The planks in the platform are supposed... So now let me get this straight. The Republican Party invited these people in? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happened. Yeah. When the GOP strays from the planks in the platform, a people's movement like the Tea Party movement. If she says it one more time, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom. The Tea Party movement is invited in to kind of hold these politicians accountable. To what? Accountable to what, you dingy broad? What the hell are you talking about? To the planks? Oh, they're to be accountable. What are the planks? Oh, you know, those things in the board. What's the board?
It's what's written on her hand.
It's what's written on my hand. Oh, my God. Wallace then asked this genius, If she's considered, here we got time. Yeah, if she's considered queen of the teabags, and Wallace says, quote, you say you're happy to be a prouder part of us. Some people think you want to be the leader of the Tea Party movement.
No, I would hope that the Tea Partiers don't believe that they need some kind of well-oiled machine, kind of replicate of the GOP or the Democrat Party, and instead they remain a movement of the people uprising and saying, listen to us, we have some common sense solutions that we want our politicians to consider and to implement. And this is much bigger than a hockey mom from Wasilla. It's much bigger than any charismatic guy with a teleprompter. It is the people's movement. It's about the people, and I'm proud to be a part of this.
Is she calling herself some kind of a well-oiled Republican android? Is that what she's saying? I would hope that the Tea Partiers don't believe that they need some kind of well-oiled machine, some kind of replicate of the GOP. Bigger than a hockey mom from Wasilla. With a Sharpie marker ink on her hands. Oh, God.
Just wait. All those, you know, real girl love doll websites next year, they're going to have a Barracuda, a Sarah Barracuda model, a well-oiled replicate of the GOP.
Comes with its own easy-to-assemble guillotine.
And Sharpie.
We have a break here, don't we? All right, we'll be back. We have... We have two more Sarah-licious moments here for you. So, or is it Palinicious? Palinicious? I like Sarah-licious. Sarah-licious moments here. So stick around. We're going to make you laugh tonight until you wet your underwear or have a movement. I don't know. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Are you burdened?
Kurt Vonnegut wrote about Sarah Palin, but he called her Diana Moon Glampers. Diana Moon Glampers appears in the novel God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater, as a neurotic woman who's afraid that she's going to be struck by lightning in her kidneys, which she refers to as her kidleys. She worked as a housekeeper for the Rosewater family until they stopped living in the Rosewater mansion. In the novel, she's described as, quote, a 68-year-old virgin who, by almost anybody's standards, was too dumb to live. Bob sent that in. Yeah, Diana Moon Glampers. I seem to remember her. Oh, my God. Anyway, back to... back to Fantasyland, Fox News. Over at Cluster Fox, we have Sarah Palin being interviewed by Mike Wallace. And I'm sorry, when I saw these video clips, I don't watch Fox News. Kathy asked to do that. Well, she doesn't watch it either, but she gets video clips. But when I watched this, I kept watching Mike Wallace's eyes. and or Chris Wallace's eyes. And I swear to God, they kept dropping down to Sarah Palin's kneecaps or someplace. Anyway, then Wallace got to the chase and asked her opinion, Sarah's opinion, of Obama. Chris Wallace said, "What do you think of Barack Obama's?" God, what do you think of Barack Obama? Why doesn't he ask me? Why doesn't he ask a tree stump? Why doesn't he ask a two-legged frog? I mean, why is he asking her? What do you think of Barack Obama's presidency so far?
He has some misguided decisions that he is making that he is expecting us to just kind of sit down and shut up and accept. And many of us are not going to sit down and shut up. We're going to say, no, we do not like this perceived.
Where's he saying sit down and shut up?
In a general, just kind of his general persona, I think, that he has when he's up there at, I'll call it a lectern, when he is up there and he is telling us basically, I know best. My people here in the White House know best, and we are going to tell you that, yes, you do want this essentially nationalized health care system, and we're saying, no, we don't. And the messages are not being received by Barack Obama. So I think instead of lecturing, he needs to stop and he needs to listen. That concerns us, and we're going to speak up about it. And please don't allow this persona to continue where you do try to make us feel like we need to just sit down, shut up, and accept what you're doing to us.
Oh, my God. Sit down, shut up. Wallace says, wait. wait. Where is he saying sit down and shut up? And Palin's answer, the hoe's answer, is just classic. In a general, just kind of general persona, I think that he has when he's up there at the, I'll call it a lectern. Yeah, because she forgot to write the word podium on her ankle. You know, I'll call it a lectern. Lectern. That's a big word, Sarah. I'll call the lectern when he's up there telling us basically, I know best. My people in the White House know best. I'm waiting for her to say, look, Chris, look, look, it's the White House. What's he doing there? So you might be thinking, what might a Palin presidency look like other than a cluster fork? Wallace asked, why wouldn't you run for president?
I would if I believe that that is the right thing to do for our country and for the Palin family. Certainly, I would do so.
Wait, because you're basically saying you will consider it.
I think that it would be absurd to not consider what it is that I can potentially do to help our country. I don't know if it's going to be ever seeking a title, though. It may be just doing a darn good job as a reporter
title?
Or covering some of the current events.
But you're going to consider. You're going to go through the process of thinking.
I won't close a door that perhaps could be open for me in the future. I don't want any American to ever close the door in their personal or their professional lives and put themselves in a box and say, heck yeah, I'm going to do that, or no way, I'm not going to do that.
No way.
We don't know what the future holds. I don't know how any of that stuff works. I don't know how they try to open a door that perhaps isn't even open. I'm just appreciative of having some good information at my fingertips right now.
Would you say you're more knowledgeable about domestic and foreign affairs now than you were 2 years ago?
Hope so. Yes, I am.
God, I hope so too. My puppy is more knowledgeable on foreign policy than you were 2 years ago. I can see the moon, Chris. That makes me an astronaut. Jesus, God. I think it'd be absurd to not consider what it is that I can potentially do to help our country. I don't know if it's going to be every seeking a title. I don't know if it's going to be ever seeking a title. A title? Like heavyweight champ of the world or best in show? A title? It may just be doing a darn good job as a reporter. Sweetie, you're a reporter now. You already won. Last week you couldn't even spell it. Now you is one. Or are covering some of the current events. And then Wallace says, but you're going to consider? You're going to go through the process of thinking? I won't close the door that perhaps could be open for me in the future. I don't want any American to ever close the door on their personal or professional lives and put themselves in a box.
I don't know how any of that stuff works. I don't know. Heck, I'm still trying to figure out what a vice president does. I don't know. Does anybody know what a vice president... I'll ask Glenn Beck. He'll tell me.
And then she says, I don't know how any of that stuff works. I don't know how they try to open a door that's cracked, if it's even open. Whoa. Son of a gun. Wait a minute. Let me get that one down. I don't know how.
You need a Sharpie?
No. I'm writing it on a piece of paper. How to open a door that's cracked, if it's even open. That's right up there with Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, isn't it? Say that enough times. How they try to open a door that's cracked, if it's even open. How they open a door that's cracked, if it's even open. How they open a door that's cracked, if it's even open. Woo, Lord! Wallace says, would you say that you're more knowledgeable about domestic and foreign affairs now than you were 2 years ago? Well, I would hope so. You betcha. Yeah, I am. Ask me something. Well, no, don't do that. Don't ask me anything. Huh? Oh, my God. Hi, I'm Sarah Palin. How's that hopey-changey thing working for you? Here, you want to play with my hair? I see all you men out there sitting at the tables with your, what are those, your wives? Or did you bring your laundry along? Good God, God, you got some dumpy-ass looking women, boys. Ew. Well, for $100,000, I don't care. I'll talk to baskets of laundry. It doesn't matter to me. We got a constant. Stop them from barking back there. We got to reconstitutionalize everybody thing. Everything is not guy. Oh, Lord. Oh. Rahm Emanuel used the word retarded. I can use that, but he can't. And my good friend, the golden microphone Viagra boy, the fat man, the one that likes to, most people, you know, up in Alaska dip snuff. He likes to dip minors. But anyway, he used retarded. Yeah. Okay, excuse me now. I have to go get even crazier. Show me the room. I don't get to get out of here.
I want a young girl. She is my extra stuff. She is my ebony. She is my chocolate fudge. Hot chocolate, you know where she come for. Wherever none shaggy rasta knows every rough. I'm not the number one for make the world shake up. She's nice and lovely. Yes, oh, she lovely girl. So come take love me fancy. Nice and lovely. Watch how she love me, girl. So come to club me fancy.
She is nice and lovely, sweet and sexy. Now she is the girl for me. She is me nice and lovely, sweet and sexy. Now she is the girl for me. It should be doobie day.
Another Glenn Beck viewer is in the news. This is a guy, 27 years old. His name is Joshua Tabor. He is a soldier. I guess he's home on leave, or what do they call it now? Rotation? He's waiting to be sent back. This guy is 27. He admitted to police that he decided to punish his 4-year-old daughter by waterboarding her because she failed to say the alphabet correctly. He said he lowered her face upward 3 or 4 times until her forehead and jaw were nearly submerged. The girl, according to the police report, squirmed to get away. When police spoke to her, they saw bruising on her back and scratch marks on her neck and throat. They asked how she got the bruises, and the four-year-old replied, "Daddy did it." Tabor is a soldier at Lewis McChord Base in Tacoma, Washington, admitted he was in a rage and drunk after his daughter was unable to recite her ABCs. As his girlfriend looked on, he grabbed the little girl and placed her on the kitchen counter before lowering her into a bowl. He was arrested after he was seen walking around wearing his bulletproof Kevlar helmet and threatening to break windows. He's been charged with second-degree assault. That is one report. Here's another report. U.S. soldier has been charged with waterboarding his four-year-old daughter because she could not recite her ABCs, police in the western state of Washington said Monday. This is from the French news agency. In a fit of rage and under the influence of alcohol, 27-year-old Joshua Tabor and his girlfriend pushed his daughter's head face up under a running faucet in the kitchen sink, said Yelm Police Chief Todd Stansel. Stansel said, quote, "From what I understand, it's very similar to waterboarding. And to make it only worse, the daughter is afraid of water to begin with," the police chief said. "She would not recite her ABCs," the chief said, "is what we gathered. So according to the father, that was a perfectly fine punishment," end quote. They found the girl hiding in the bathroom after responding to reports of a disturbance. Police chief said the suspect was intoxicated, walking around the neighborhood with a Kevlar helmet, threatening to break out windows in the neighborhood. It was 2 o'clock in the morning when the police got there. She was up and awake and hiding in the bathroom in fear of her father. Jesus. Another Glenn Beck listener who is just responding to the mind control of his leader. Another right-wing Republican and Christian who sees nothing wrong with spare the rod, spoil the child. How do I surmise all that from the news report? Oh, come on. Come on. Of course he's a Christian right-wing Republican Beck listener. What the hell else would he be? Huh? Someone listens to Tom Hartman? I don't think so. God. A four-year-old. Now, I'm sure that if the newspaper would report on his returning from Afghanistan or Iraq with shrapnel in his hip or half his brain blown away, he would be referred to as a hero. We have a unit here in Georgia that's deploying to Afghanistan after a month's advanced training. It's a unit of the Georgia National Guard, and as they were all gathering in a local school gymnasium, this was on the 6 o'clock news tonight, say goodbye to their family members who would be deployed for a year, the news anchor referred to the heroes about to go off to Afghanistan, and he followed up by saying, of course, none of them had ever seen ever been deployed overseas before. None had ever seen active duty, but still to this clown on the local news station, they were heroes. They didn't look like heroes to me. They looked like overweight, shocked, trying to figure out what the hell they're doing, middle-aged men and some young ones getting ready to go die for a pipeline or worse. Heroes, huh? Is that's what heroes? Yeah, see, the Republicans did that. The word used to mean something other than a sandwich, but the Republicans have so bastardized the term and cheapened it, turned it into some tinny. It's the same thing they did to the word patriot, right? Hero, patriot. They did the same to the word honor. The Republicans and the Glenn Beckians and the rest of these swine have utterly and absolutely destroyed language where it concerns terms that at one time had honorable meaning, and none of these terms mean anything anymore. You hear someone described as a hero because they took part in the occupation of another country that did nothing to provoke the invasion. That's supposed to be a hero? Give me a freaking break. Okay. Podcast trivia. Get on the phone right now when we come back. 877-996-2556. Trivia on the Mike Malloy Show, where you can win a one-year free subscription to podcast downloads, commercial free. All you have to do is guess the right answer from our multiple choice question. It's easy. It's fun. Make your teeth white, your breath sweet. Are you ready to play? It is so simple. I see. Kathy, we have a whole lineup of folks tonight who would like to win a one-year subscription. Are we still giving away the free Toyota? No?
Should be.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, let's start with Sean, who's in Bremerton, Washington. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Pretty good. Are you ready to do this?
Let's do it.
Okay, don't let the sound effects, interfere with your concentration. All right?
Not a problem.
Okay, here we go. What object, we're going to get international on you tonight. What object was hurled at Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi following a political rally? Was it A, a man's loafer, B, a pound of hard Genoa salami, C, a spiky replica statue of the Gothic Duomo, the famous cathedral in Milan, or D, a replica of the late Oral Roberts' infamous prayer towel in Tulsa, or prayer tower in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Having a clue. A would probably be based on recent history, but I'm going to go with B.
A pound of hard Genoa salami?
Sounds about right for the Italians.
No, I'm sorry. That's not it, Sean. It was actually the spiky replica statue of the Gothic Duomo, the famous cathedral in Milan. It ripped his face almost off. But anyway, thanks, Sean. Try again. All right, you can always try second, third, 12th, 20th time. All right, Carl is in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Hey, Carl.
How you doing tonight, Mike?
All right, I spent a month in your city one night.
Really?
Yeah. All right, you ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right. What is a Chad? Is it the nickname for the presidential limousine? Is it an acronym for Caucus of Hispanic and African American Democrats? Is it the parts of a bill, proposed congressional legislation, that are eliminated in the final version of the law? Or D, is it a tiny section of paper that is or isn't punched out of a paper ballot?
Did you say Chad?
Chad, yes.
It's the D, the part that's not punched out of the ballot down in Florida. I think it had to be
all
Chad.
All right, you got it, Carl. Congratulations, you win. Oh, by the way, a Chad may be dimpled, pregnant, hanging, or complete. Isn't that funny? You know, I always thought Chad was some dude's name.
Right.
Until I thought it was probably some foreigner, because nobody named their kid Chad in this country. It was Chad and Jeremy. That's who it was. Remember Chad and Jeremy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one question before you go.
Sure.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around this, but I think anyone with a novice like myself even could figure out, if they could fact-find anything on Sarah Palin, it wouldn't, I dabble in politics and I love it, but it would, anonymous like myself can look up stuff, and it's like she said that Alaska produced 20% of the oil, it only produces 3%. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist, and you'll tell me, what's the mystique around this idiot? I just get frustrated, like, how stupid is it? Pure, I mean, what is it? Somebody answer that question.
Nobody has been able to my satisfaction. I've had a lot of smart asses say it's because she's good looking. And she's a hottie, and what do Republican men really have that they can objectify the way Republican men love to do women? So along comes Sarah Palin, and I don't know. I've heard that she's kind of like PTA porn or something. You know,
It just baffles me that
it does me too.
Maybe we're enablers. Because we keep it in the news. Why don't we say something about the soldiers that died in Pakistan?
I hear you.
We didn't suppose to have any soldiers on the ground in Pakistan. Are we in three wars now, Mike?
I think we are. We may be in four. Don't forget Yemen.
Yeah, but I'm saying nobody knew that we had soldiers or advisors in Pakistan, but yet they're getting killed. Would it just happen to ride by a sightseeing and get killed? But we don't put any time and effort in this, but yet, we just go on about this. She's, and it's a strong word, but I'll use it. She's a freaking idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I wish I had an answer, Carl. I completely agree with you. Like I said, we got news, back on January 27th that we talked about it last week, that at those hearings before the House Intelligence, I think it was the House or Senate, House Intelligence Committee, operatives within the U.S. intelligence community had told the State Department to go ahead and allow that Christmas potential bomber to get on the plane. And I have yet to hear anything about this. But I do know that Sarah Palin got $100,000 for talking to 600 people in Nashville. It's incredible. All right, Carl, stay on the line. And Kathy will get the information. Congratulations, man. I'm glad you won. And if y'all are on holding for trivia, you can try again. Bitch in a box? What? Now, I'm just quoting here because I don't say nasty words about this. This is from Jeanette. I hope someone does us all a favor and puts her in a box. Maybe they can ship her to Russia. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump from her house after all. How about a box labeled dumbest person in history to ever think about running for president? She makes too stupid to chew a pretzel sound like Einstein. I think she and Bachman were separated at birth. The scariest thing is many Americans are also dumber than dirt and think they'd both make great presidents. What the hell planet am I on? At least something positive came from that last segment. Besides laughing our asses off, I heard about a Vonnegut book I haven't read. I'll enjoy it even more if I imagine Diana as a pit bull with lipstick. All right, now see, y'all are just using such nasty language. Keep doing it. Oh, yeah, Michelle Bachman, did you hear the latest on her? She's another one. I mean, what is this? Of course, Bachman is certifiably insane, whereas Palin is just riding that celebrity horse across the fruited plain, coast to coast, border to border, which is what we're all supposed to do in this country. We're supposed to find us a celebrity horse and jump on and yeehaw, ride hard and put it up wet, but make all the money you can get. Well, Chris, I don't know. I might be running for president if the people want me to and God tells me to. Here, let me look on my hand. If the people tell me to and God wants me to. That's what I thought it said. If the people tell me to and God wants me or something like. Ah, Lord. But Michelle Bachman, this past weekend, she was addressing the right-wing Constitutional Coalition's annual conference in St. Louis. It was on the same day as the teabaggers in Nashville. I mean, this country is peppered with these neo-Nazi rallies. When are they going to start hoisting up the flag and singing songs to the fatherland? It's oh, my God. It says here, thinkprogress.org reported that speaking to a small group of conference attendees during a lunch on Saturday, Bachman outlined how the Republican Party and its 2012 presidential nominee must address the national debt. Really, Michelle? And why? Bachman referenced Glenn Beck, who falsely warned about a $107 trillion in supposed unfunded liabilities from Social Security and Medicare. Oh, God. She then called for a reorganization of entitlements where people already in the system would continue to receive benefits, but everybody else would be weaned off. This is what she said, quote, "Is the country too big to fail?" No, the country can fail. We can. We're not invincible. That's positively un-American. And we're so close now to being at that point because the thing is, as Glenn Beck said last night, it is true. The $107 trillion that he put on the board, we're $14 trillion in debt. And that doesn't include the unfunded massive liabilities. That's $107 trillion, and that's for Social Security and Medicare and all the rest. You add up those unfunded net liabilities and all the traps that could go wrong we're on the hook for. And what it means is that we have to do is a reorganization of all of that. Why don't these people learn how to talk right? Why don't they learn how to talk in good English instead of like this? Republicans are the dumbest collection of dog droppings ever, aren't they? When you combine Michelle Bachman and Sarah, don't do that, and Shelby from Alabama, and Jeff Sessions from Alabama, and some of these old white boys from down here in the South that always talk like they're just chewing on a leg bone or something, and then combine it with the idiocy and ignorance of a Michelle Bachman. Why can't they learn to talk? We're going to have to a reorganization of Social Security and all. Social Security and all. What does that mean? What do those words mean? Sounds like my 6-year-old.
Better stand back. Here come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Excuse me. Kate T. Oh, wait, let me finish this thing about Bachman. So Bachman is giving a speech at another neo-Nazi rally, this one in St. Louis over the weekend, the Constitutional Coalition's annual conference. I wonder if they spoke out at the Constitutional Coalition about what the Supreme Court, the five right-wing members of the U.S. Supreme Court did when they declared an end to free elections, that they're now going to be run by corporate America. I wonder. Anyway, so she goes on with her speech about gutting or ending Social Security. She says, so what you have to do is keep faith with the people already in the system that don't have any other options. We have to keep faith with them. But basically, what we have to do is wean everybody else off and wean everybody off because we have to take those unfunded net liabilities off our bank sheet. We can't do it. So we just have to be straight with people. So basically, whoever our nominee is going to have a Glenn Beck chalkboard and explain to everybody, this is the way it is. End quote. What the hell? And Mr. Beck, the suicider, spoke on Friday. He proclaimed that Bachman was the only person he trusted in Congress. Oh, no. At one point, Heritage Foundation scholar Isn't that a contradiction in terms? Matt Spaulding, who had been whispering in Bachman's ear while other panelists spoke, exclaimed, "Oh, I love licking her ear." No, I made that up. He said, "If there's one person who everybody at Heritage has a crush on, it's Michelle Bachman." You poor bastard. I mean, really, you poor Republican men. That's who all the all the penis pills are. That's the target audience for the penis pills. I mean, I'm not saying that there weren't males in this society that had a problem with erections prior to the election of George Bush, prior to the theft of the presidency in 2000 by George Bush. But what happened immediately after Bush stole the election? All of a sudden, we're inundated with penis pill advertising. It just doesn't stop. You know, you Republicans couldn't get it up with a pair of splints. I mean, you really couldn't. And that's what this is all about. There's a Negro in the White House, and you can't get an erection. So what do? Michelle Bachman and Sarah Palin. I mean, how difficult is that? I almost said, how hard is that? How difficult is that? Right? Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachman, penis pills, and there's a Negro in the White House. Holy Toledo, the rapture is right around the corner. And whatever happened to Ann Coulter? Wasn't she y'all's favorite skinny-ass sex symbol? Wasn't it Ann Coulter and her black dresses? And her prominent Adam's apple? Hi, boys.
Now, Mike, you're just being very rude to my people.
Yeah, your people. Where do these women come from? They're created. They're like these talking sex dolls, right? What was that article we read about talking sex dolls?
Yeah, why'd they make them talk? They ruined a great concept. Except, you know, if you had one that would wink and go, you betcha, I bet that'd be the number one seller since, you know, well, I am a well-oiled machine.
You better be careful.
I'm a pit bull with lipstick.
You're coming right up to the line of broadcast standards and practices there. What did you say a minute ago about penis pills? Oh, wait, I said that. That was me. That's right. Remember that commercial with Bob Dole and Britney Spears? Do you remember that? This dirty old man with the gimpy arm is just leering at how old was Britney Spears at the time? 22? 19? Checking out her basket? What is with you impotent, crazy Republican white men? And why do you have to work your impotency out on the rest of us? Why don't you just, I don't know. You know, Big Pharma tried to help you out, gave you all these penis pills that you can use now. Hell, now one of them, and they advertise this every night at dinner. That's why we don't watch the news at 6 o'clock anymore. What is it, Cialis Daily now? You can take these little Cialis pills, and whatever happened to just good old-fashioned get it on with your partner eroticism? Why do you have to do it chemically, you Republican freaks? This is all Beck followers. These are Hannity. Can you imagine? Oh, God, don't even think about that one. Ooh. Don't even think about that. No, stop. Oh, quick, I got to shut my brain off. All right, let's do a break. All of a sudden, I had this vision of Hannity and Beck not having sex together. That would be perfectly natural. But Hannity and Beck saying to their respective wives, "You want to have some fun tonight?" Oh, my God. Stop. You got to stop thinking that. I'll be back on the other side of this break. I've got to go scrub. Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Program. A couple of emails here real quick, and then to your phone calls. And we have a report from Prairie, too, coming up here in a few minutes. Oh, and something about Oliver North, too. Just so many things, right? John in the city, and today I'm not referring to New Orleans, but New York. Hey, Mike, Republicans are voyeurs historically. Here's a few examples. One, J. Edgar Hoover. Two, the Watergate break-in planners. Three, the thieves who broke into Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office. Four, Ken Starr, who needed to know all about Bill Clinton's orgasms. Five, Mark Foley, fantasized about and harassed teen male interns. Six, Larry Craig, peeked through the door of the Minneapolis airport bathroom to observe an unwilling victim. The Republicans are so dorky and insecure about everything sexual, they resort to spying on liberals, perhaps trying to learn how to be cool, or maybe because they're just so dysfunctional sexually. Conservatives historically are weird and troubled. Sincerely, John in New York City. Yeah, they're weird and troubled. And Kate T., regarding, you know, the demolition of words that we've talked about, the corruption of language, but the utter destruction of words like patriot and what was the other one I was referencing earlier, Kathy? yeah. Dear Mike, it's destroying words is symptomatic of their overall approach. They have spent at least, the Republicans, at least 30 years, and in some cases 60 years, hollowing out our institutions, leaving us the semblance of liberty and justice and equality, the form, without the substance. They've hollowed out our language, elevated name-calling to psychological warfare, cheapened our secular sacred words, and trivialized war and mayhem. They are now desperately trying to hollow out our history by destroying the public education system. They are not conservatives. They are instead an unrecognized or unacknowledged revolutionary force bent on restoring feudalism and aristocracy through economic means. Just ask the war criminal, Dr. Kissinger, or read Naomi Klein. Kate T. What a sideshow. Mike is in Chicago listening online tonight. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's everything going, Mike?
Moving right along.
Well, speaking of things that aggravate me, is it just me or every time I see any pundit with the United States flag on their lapel, doesn't your head just boil instantly when you see that from now on?
You know what freaked me out was the halftime sports commentary last night before.
Oh, they all had them on.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Before this aging rock band. Well, I wasn't Pete Townsend a mess? Oh, why don't these guys quit? They're not Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger can do it until he's 90. But Roger Daltrey and Peter Townsend? Oh, my God, I almost threw up my popcorn.
And they play the same songs every time.
45 years later, Pinball Wizard.
Well, first of all, getting back to your point, Ann Coulter P's standing. I don't know if anyone's broke the news to her lately. And the one thing you forgot to include with the cliff notes on Sarah Palin's hands were the E's were backwards, like on the Little Rascals Fortress House. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
I'm more scared of the people who do understand what this dolt is talking about.
Oh, I know. I watched some of the interviews. Some of the network reporters were out there asking these women. I didn't know that there was still a market for hairspray. I really didn't. And rat tail combs.
Wouldn't you love someone to come up to her and say, okay, what's the Magna Carta? When was the Civil War? What document established a division of powers between the state and federal government? Do you think she could actually understand the word federalism?
Well,
no.
Of course not. But her followers, her followers, Mike, those ladies with the bluish white hair and their gentlemen. I mean, I don't know. And you know, every damn one of them gets some kind of a government subsidy, or they would be dead.
You
know.
Well, my first clue was the last time I watched that, the show on Fox, the guy who was running for president, just had Bobby Darin as a musical guest. I'm like, really? Really? And Jim Heilemann, who was on Game Change, he was on Chris Matthews, and the best thing I've ever seen was he said, they got a phone call from Steve Schmidt, McCain's campaign manager, right, and said, she knows nothing. You guys really need to train her. They went up to the hotel suite in St. Paul, Minnesota, and he said they pulled out what was equivalent to a risk board on the table.
And this was this weekend.
Yeah, right, and I'm like, right, oh, my God. And the sad part is there's really people who think she's capable of running a government.
Oh, my God, she's not capable of running a foot race, you know.
Oh, it's painfully obvious,
but
no one understands this.
I know.
Well, right. Mike, it was good talking to you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Mike. Take care. Cheat sheet on the palm of your hand. Let me just clarify something. I really have no problem with older people. As a matter of fact, I know a few. It's the older ones that are just so ignorant, who think there's a there in Palin, and there isn't. A comic relief, okay. Politics can't be all, Republican death and murder and bombing and destruction. It has to be a little Democratic murder and death and destruction. But okay, where the Republicans do provide humor. As a matter of fact, if you take a fresh look at this poor, miserable Glenn Beck and see not that there's anything funny about someone who is literally insane and happens to have a television show. You get in trouble with the mental health organizations if you start to get off on that a little bit too much. But from Beck all the way down the food chain, all the way down to a Sarah Palin, what is this thing about raising to the level of almost holiness, ignorance? I mean, just flat out ignorance. You know, it's not, it's not ignorance. Ignorance is curable. These people are not curable. This is stupidity. What is, and the stupidity is terminal. You don't cure stupid. You can cure ignorant, but you can't cure stupid. And these people that the teabagger crowd and the Palin crowd and the Beck crowd and the Hannity crowd and the O'Reilly crowd, how do people reach that level of stupid and still be breathing? I just don't get that. I really don't. So the only way to look at this when you get right down to it is for the rancid, almost foul-smelling humor that is there. It is funny. It is gallows humor, maybe, but it is just so damn funny. Diane is in Albuquerque, listening on 1350 in that city. Hi, Diane.
Hi. This is unfortunately Clear Channel here, and now that we don't have Ron Reagan, we have Alan Combs.
You have Alan Combs.
Which, of course, is bumpered by Fox Garbage. Oh, I can't stand. I called them today and said, why?
Well, don't make them too angry. They'll just say, all right, well, we're going to get rid of Malloy then.
No way, because I said it was wonderful.
Bless your heart. Hey, listen, can you hold on a minute? Just one more minute. I know you've been holding on for over half an hour, but
sure,
I've got to do a break. Just hold on for a second, and we'll come back. We love our Clear Channel affiliates. We are starting, when are we starting with Spokane? In 2 weeks? Okay, so that is for real. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Holloway.
Peace, loving, pot smoking, porn watching, lazy ass hippies like me. Tree-hugging, love-making, pro-choice and gay-wedding, widespread digging hippies like me. Skin color blinded, conspiracy-minded protesters of corporate greed. We who have nothing and most likely will till we all end up locked up in jails by conservative Christian, right-wing Republican, straight white American males. Diamonds and gold.
He's the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. We're talking with Diane in Albuquerque, New Mexico. All right, where were we?
I wanted to make a comment about little penises before I actually tell you why I called.
Okay,
yesterday I got a mailing from the Southern Poverty Law Center, some of the photographs of the KKK and their uncircumcised pointed hoods, and I thought maybe they're substitutes for penises. But anyway, I called because do you recall during the George W. presidential campaigns that he was wearing an IFD once?
Yeah, I do remember
right.
that. Yeah.
And because I was still working in network news in New York, I knew right away what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And although it took days for anybody to talk about it, and then they said, oh, it was an ill-fitting suit. Excuse me? The president has his clothes probably made in Savile Row.
Yeah, and it looked like he had if it wasn't a remote listening device, it was a George W. Bush robot, and that was the mechanism on the back that went to the control panel. I mean, good God.
Well, it was so obvious, and I made a lame excuse that maybe that's why he hesitated so much, because he was listening for the answers. I thought it was illegal, but apparently it's not. Anybody could wear them during a debate, but it sure isn't fair. I mean, I was just...
Right.
So
right.
I wish somebody would talk about that when they talk about teleprompters and palms.
That's the Sarah Palin version of the Palm Pilot.
Exactly.
Is to, you
exactly.
know, scribble all
but
over
I wish hand. I wish people would talk about that more, about his IFB, and just explain to people what an IFB is. But,
yeah.
You know, anyway, that's why I called, and thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for checking in, Diane. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's not legal to have a listening device wired to what's left of your brain. It's also not illegal. Did I say not legal? It's not illegal to do that. It's also not illegal to do a newscast where you simply lie to your brain-dead, flatlined audience. That's according to a Florida Supreme Court decision regarding Fox News in that sorry state. Jared writes, hi, Mike. I mostly ignored the Ku Klux Klan meeting in Tennessee last weekend. The Ku Klux Klan meeting. But I'm now catching bits and pieces of it, and I'm horrified. In all seriousness, I'm arming myself, and I'll be waiting by the back door. Come on over, tea baggers. I'll blow their blank heads off. Jared, easy, big fella. Easy, Jared. The Ku Klux Klan meeting? Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, I don't live too very, very far. On a clear day, you can actually see the mountain. I don't live too very far from Stone Mountain, Georgia, where the Klan was reanimated in the 40s. That was before they carved all these Confederate heroes on the side of Stone Mountain. But they had a big old ceremony up on the top of Stone Mountain. It's the largest outcropping of granite on Earth or in the solar system or something. It, you know, the nub of it sticks up over there at Stone Mountain Park. But it goes under four states. Is there enormous? And if you live over there, you get cancer from the radon that just flows all over out there. But just thought I would toss that in. You can toss it right back out. The Ku Klux Klan meeting. All right, when we come back. Oh, no, we don't go yet, do we? As a matter of fact, we'll talk with Steve in Austin, Texas. Let's see on XM for a minute. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mac. Mike, hope you're doing well.
Doing fine, thank you.
As far as the answer for the chemicals for the Republicans now the penis pills you were talking about earlier, they missed out on the 70s. They were busy signing up young Republicans on campus, and they were busy signing up Campus Crusade for Christ and all
right.
that stuff.
Right.
You know, they just missed out.
So they didn't have any fun.
That's it.
Yeah, they didn't have
now
any fun.
Now they're trying to catch up.
I guess that's it. And to some of these people, the way you catch up is you destroy everything for everybody else. It's kind of the old dog in the manger or the attitude. I swear to God, Steve, they turn my stomach. I just hate Republicans. This crop, all Republicans, historically to me, were always a bit dodgy. But this crop is just so stupid and so ignorant and so willing to act like geeks and jerks out in public. What did their, how'd their mamas raise them? You know?
Not well.
Boy,
and I think Tancredo is just like, their screaming red flag.
Oh, he's a piece of work, and he should know better. Isn't he Italian immigrant?
Yeah.
Or his
yeah.
parents were or something? I mean, he should know better. Good God.
Yeah, he's not that far removed from the continent. Exactly.
Right. Anytime I start feeling froggy about immigrants, I stop and think, whoa, wait a minute, Malloy. You're only two generations removed from the olive groves yourself. Hey, Steve, I got to leave it there. Thanks, pal. Appreciate you checking in.
Kevin Richard.
Are we having trouble with the cello music tonight? Is that what it is? Welcome back. Okay, where are we? We better do, y'all hold on just a second, from Prairie 2, our economic affairs correspondent. Tonight's missive, subject line, sucker bets. The Dow dropped another 100 points today on fears that Greece and some other countries on the periphery of the European Union will default on their debts. The countries involved are known as the PIGS, Portugal, Ireland, Greece, and Spain, and represent only a small fraction of Europe's gross domestic product, and this hardly seems like a crisis for Wall Street. The problem is that currency traders are betting a record amount against the euro or short-selling it on the futures market on the hopeful anticipation of the euro tanking against the U.S. dollar. Hedge funds have, by short-selling stocks, taken down major banks and corporations in the past couple of years, and now they have their sights set on a whole continent. How does this affect the Dow? U.S. corporations aren't really American, with more than half their business spread over the rest of the world, and the U.S. economy certainly can't be counted on to keep them going. The markets are overinflated to begin with. You could replace the assets of these companies for about 60% of what their stock is currently selling for. Put that way, who would buy stock? It is all predicated on the premise that the price of stocks will continue to be bid up by people with more money than brains. Shh, don't tell the suckers. So, if there is a major default and Europe has to take a big haircut on the value of a quarter of the world's currency, this will ripple across the planet. China, by the way, holds a lot of euros, as does much of the world. The strengthening U.S. dollar is already causing problems because the Fed prints money like a banana republic, and a general feeling of dread is spreading. Inflation was rearing its ugly head, but now deflation is the big fear again. Once defaulting starts, it spreads like flesh-eating bacteria. Those corporate assets that you were already paying too much for when you bought stocks could drop to a fraction of their current book value. When this has happened many times in the past 130 years, the stock market has dropped to a small fraction of what it had been, usually about 30% of asset value. In the old days, before Reagan, the stock market was something rich people gambled on. In the 20s, the middle class was suckered into the Ponzi scheme and lost big. But that was before 401ks. All that extra money has been a meal ticket for the financial services industry. Now the party's over. Better tighten the belt. Time to think about what park you'll be sleeping in and what dumpster has the best eats. Prairie too. Go to his website, prairienumeral2.com. Are we going to get to, Oliver North. When was it last week? Oliver North said that Barack Obama treats the military, quote, like lab rats in a radical social experiment, end quote. That was because they're all talking about don't ask, don't tell. And the military brass, the real military brass, has been behind this 100%. Oliver North, don't forget, is a felon. He's a liar. He's an absolute disgrace to the United States Marine Corps. He's a disgrace to the uniform. He illegally sold weapons to Iran. To Iran. To fund the counter-revolutionaries that the CIA created in Nicaragua, and he thought he was so slick. He's become the resident military expert on Fox News and for the Washington Times, the one owned by the Reverend Sun Myung-moon, who calls himself the latest incarnation of Christ. Now, nice crowd you run with there, Ollie, you cowardly punk. He's basically a war criminal that got his felony conviction overturned on a technicality, something about using sanitized testimony to convict him. He has testimony before the Senate, you see, couldn't be used against him in a regular court of law because it was under a guarantee of immunity, i.e. sanitized. So Oliver North gets off on a technicality, the kind of technicalities that usually these right-wing toadstools just freak out if somebody else enjoys that kind of a break. But anyway, he attacked Obama for asking the military to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, he was on the February 4th edition of Hannity's program. And he was repeating, he said that repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell is a stunning assault on the military. Stunning assault on the military. And that Obama now, quote, now intends to treat them like lab rats in a radical social experiment, end quote. That's like Truman was another one, right, Ollie? You freakoid. You know, when Truman decided that people of color had just as much right to kill and die for corporate America as people who were blanched out and white like you, Oliver, right? Later in the same interview with Hannity, Ollie North said of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, quote, now here's what's next. NAMBLA members. NAMBLA? Oh, that's right. The North American Man-Boy Love Association? Notice how these right-wingers, especially the ones in uniform who or used to be in uniform, people like Oliver North, they always zero in on NAMBLA, don't they? These guys like Oliver North have such, and Limbaugh is another one, they have such a hot desire for young boy flesh. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, he says, quote, now here's what's next. NAMBLA members, same-sex marriages. Are chaplains in the U.S. military going to be required to perform those kinds of rituals? Do they get government housing? End quote. Oh, my God. Now, the irony here is that Hannity would give up his position at Fox News to spend one night in Oliver's embrace. Hannity is there's something about a uniform. Of course, Hannity never wore one. There's something about a uniform, especially Oliver North. Hannity used to fall over himself in Atlanta, here in Atlanta when he worked for WGST. Every time Oliver North and Newt Gingrich would be in the room with Hannity, you could just hear him. He'd start wheezing. It was unbelievable, like he was having an asthma attack. I mean, Hannity. I think he really wants to get it on with Oliver North. Now, there's anything wrong with that, but the way these guys talk about their sublimated desires, or their, not sublimated, but their suppressed desires by projecting their own self-loathing off onto other people is just astonishing. It's classic. There's nothing unique here about the way Hannity tries to disguise his open lust for Oliver North. But good God, boys, why don't you just give it a break? Oliver, why don't you tell Betsy and Sean, why don't you tell Jill that the two of you are going to have a little weekend together, do a little hot tubbing, and just go ahead. Get it over with, you know? Then you'll stop with the NAMBLA nonsense. Whew. God have mercy. No, seriously, the next time you right-wing toadstools out there, the next time you know that Hannity's going to have Ollie on, check it out. Watch them. No, do it. I'm serious. Of course, that will probably hook into some of your own fears. But seriously, watch Hannity and North together. Yow. Nan's in St. Louis. Let's see on XM. Hey, Nan.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I'm so glad I get to follow Prairie 2 and Oliver North, because I was afraid I was going to be the only Krabby Appleton in the barrel. But now I don't have to be.
No, you don't have to worry about it.
No. But concerning Sarah, our friend, I hope to the mean guy in the sky that the joke doesn't end up being on us with the latest Supreme Court ruling with the being able to lie if you're in the media. They could very well put her in office.
Well, I think corporate America is going to dominate politics for the rest of your life and my life until either a constitutional amendment is put on the books or laws are passed to stop this. But corporate America, you know, they're not crazy. They're predatory. They're vicious, and they define greed, but they're not insane. I doubt, seriously, and I mean this, Sarah Palin has as much chance to become president as I do, because corporate America will pick somebody like Mitt Romney, or maybe even Newt Gingrich, someone that they can do business with. They can't do business with Sarah Palin, because Palin is the one thing corporate America cannot handle, and that is she's a religious fanatic. And they know, corporate America knows, the corporate chieftains, I should say, they know to stay away from religious fanatics, because they're like loose cannons. And Sarah, you know, Sarah will get up there and try to induce World War III so that Jesus will come back. Or she'll try to, have her cabinet all stand up and, burn a rat and chant exhortations so that their demons are cast out or something. I mean, and corporate America knows this. So,
I don't know. Our only other hope is that the Republicans are very misogynistic, and I don't know if they could actually give way.
Yeah, no, they'll play with her for a while because she's cute and looks good in one of those knee-length skirts, but that'll be the end of it. Hey, thanks, Nan. Got a boogie. About 9 before the hour. My good friend Peter Werby in Detroit, who still does talk radio in that city, I think one night a week. He writes, Mike, teabaggers get 1,100 in attendance if you count those who showed up for Caribou Barbie's talk. The United States Social Forum will probably get 15 to 20,000 in attendance in Detroit this June and will be ignored by the mainstream media. But that's to be expected. Here's their web address. USSF, USSF, 2010.org. When this approaches, as this event approaches, I think we'll probably talk about it. You talk about democratic socialism or social democracy, if the word socialism scares you. This will be something most Americans, the vast majority of Americans, are just not familiar with. United States Social Forum Convention in Detroit this June. We'll talk about it as the date approaches. And then there's this. UNICEF is reporting, you know, the United Nations Children's Emergency Fund, International Children's Emergency Fund. And this is prior to the horror that occurred in Haiti. UNICEF reports that 146 million underweight children in the developing world, and that not one of them is Cuban. Indeed, UNICEF reports that Cuba is the only country in all of Latin America and the Caribbean that has eliminated severe child malnutrition. As a reminder, there are other categories in which Cuba can claim the same distinction. 900,000, this is globally, 900,000 children die every month because of poverty. Not one of them is Cuban. 200 million children in the world sleep on the streets today. None of them is Cuban. 250 million children under 13 have to work in order to survive. None of them is Cuban. More than 1 million children are forced into prostitution, and tens of thousands have been victims of human organ trafficking. None of them is Cuban. 25,000 children in the world die every day of measles, malaria, diphtheria, pneumonia, and malnutrition. Say it with me. None of them is Cuban. Cuba isn't perfect or heaven on earth. It is a society which puts people's needs first, and it shows. By the way, to compare Cuba to another so-called tropical island, consider today's news from Hawaii. Public schools in Hawaii are closed most Fridays. Rats scurry across bananas in an uninspected market, and there may not be enough money to run a congressional election, end quote. Okay, now before you send me emails about Cuba is a communist dictatorship, I certainly am aware of its political structure, and it's not the sort of government under which I could live for longer than about 6 or 7 minutes. But I think part of the reason that, let me back up, that doesn't deny the reality of Cuban life. The political atmosphere there is utterly poisoned in the sense that we would understand it. And I'm sure that the Cuban people, artists, writers, poets, scientists, medical investigators, you know, across the spectrum, musicians, there is an element of that sort of dictatorial socialism that is chafing at best and poisonous at worst. Are there political prisoners in Cuban prisons? Yes. Are there political prisoners here? Yes. Yes. Now, we don't acknowledge that. We just say, no political prisoners here. Does Cuba run torture facilities? I rather doubt that. Do we? Yes. Yeah, you know, we can play this game all night. But when you look at some cold, hard statistics, when you look at the fact that Cuba sends doctors all over the planet during the certain troubles in Central Africa, not the Central African Republic, but Central Africa, geographically speaking, Cuba sent a military contingent to assist on the side of social justice. Sometimes that has to come from the barrel of a gun, don't you know? Just thought I would toss that in at the end of the program. Take care. Have a nice evening. I'll see you tomorrow night. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malone.